Welcome everyone to the West Print Sports Review here on Planet FM. This show is proudly brought to you by West Print. Their address is 9 Pereri Street in New Lynn. Their number is 09827 8531. Their email address is westprint.co.nz. They are award-winning printers, so anything from business cards to displays, they will be able to help you. And of course, wow, what a miserable weekend, but there was a bit of glow on Saturday night at Eden Park, but I have to say on the club rugby scene, good win by our Premier Reserves. That means they've probably secured their semi-final spot for the championships. 21s had a win by default. Our ladies, Lady Hawks had a win over University. Our Senior Ones had a win, so it was all good. And the Lizards, I think, they had a win on carry night because they weren't actually playing. Anyway, we might as well rip into the club rugby result. Big win by Eden, 82-7 over Manukau. Ponsonby, 35. Suburbs, 5. AJ's Mob, Grammar Tech, 43. Waitemata, 13. Papatoa, 44. Marist, 7. And the bottom of the table clash, Waitakere, 13. Otahuhu, 10. College Rifles, they're going well. 43-34 over Pakeranga. Sounds like that was a hell of a game. Well, if you were on Mars, there were celebrations in Auckland around 9 o'clock. Aucklanders were, you know, beeping their horns on their electric cars while they were drinking their Fujoa champagne. And one man who would have been celebrating that is former All Black, AJ Whetton.
Yes, good morning, Piggy.
Afternoon, mate. Afternoon. Obviously, the weekend's caught up with you, mate.
I tell you what, I'm still a wee bit hungover, to tell you the truth. I was one of those drinking that Fijoa champagne, if that's what you call it. It was a good night, mate. I was up there bouncing around from a couple of boxes, made myself welcome. Didn't know who they were, but I busted in. Ended up at the Barbarian Club, where everyone is welcome. Marvellous club rooms up there, and closed up shop and home about 2 o'clock, mate. I was very tired indeed.
Geez, you wouldn't have been good on Sunday. And of course yesterday just would have been the 34th anniversary of the World Cup final as well too.
Yep. 1987.
I would have thought you guys would have, some years would have got together and had a few drinks, but obviously
we probably can't remember.
Yeah. It's kicking in early. Anyway, AJ, we might as well head into this. Blues 23, Highlanders 15. Have to say, real good atmosphere at Eden Park, and it was a fantastic final. It was very, very close, and I have to say, really impressed with Dalton Papa'alii. He's really been the Blues' best player this year, as far as I'm concerned, in both competition, Aotearoa and Trans-Tasman. But Hoskins, Satutu, Zane Sullivan, Billy Harmon for the Highlanders, it was just a great game.
Yeah, look, I think you always put up, out of it comes the end of the season, some people put their hands up a bit higher than others. Some may, most, you know, may not have done themselves some favours, a long season, but listen, I think Papaletti on top of that year, another consistent game. Look, I think the game was a good final. Not a great final, but I mean, it had all the other attributes with it. The Blues, first time in what, 18 years there. They won, which was great. And, you know, 37, 8,000 people. The weather, the gods were on our side because it was a shit start to the day. And the clouds went away. Nice evening. And the Highlanders, well, they came to town to win. There was no doubt about it. Great defence. Not quite. They didn't quite have the position, but by all means, the Blues did their best to give them an opportunity with what 10 minutes to play. We all had our hearts in our mouths, and it's good to see these boys finish it off. But you said the 2-2 out the boot, sets up the ruck. Blake Gibson, well, he's the hero. He takes golden ticket, mate, and the 5-pointer. And Mr. Plummer, well, he just seals it with a great kick from the sideline.
He certainly does, and you probably mentioned him because he plays for Grammar. But anyway, but I have to say, and of course, that's Blake Gibson's last game. He's heading to Japan, yep, by all means, and there's going to be a few departures out of that. But, yeah, really, I felt it just had that. You can tell it was It wasn't probably the greatest game, but it had that intensity of a fine away, Jane. And I really felt like the blue scrum was just very, very dominant. And, you know, I think when it comes to the All Blacks, there'll be a lot of names from the Blues.
Kirupanaki came on, he got Lau. Look, I think we were dominant in our set pieces, and I think that laid the platform. I think the stats, if you're into your stats, the possession and territory was all Blues. And what the Highlanders did on, well, they did well, and they kept putting some pressure on the Blues, who just couldn't finish. And they had three or four chances, especially in that first half. If they'd taken them, I think the score could have been, you know, a good 20 points different, but they didn't. And that's just the intensity and the mind games of a final. And they were so desperate, the Highlanders. But, and I just thought that the Blues deserved their victory. But they made it hard, and I guess made it a lot more exciting for everybody there. And I don't think, at the end of full time, it couldn't come quick enough, could it?
It certainly couldn't. Wow. The All Blacks will be named tonight at 7 o'clock. You picking any bolters in this All Black squad, AJ?
Oh, there's always someone. I couldn't think of it. I mean, I'm just trying to get myself together after the weekend. And I'm rugby, gosh, we've got Test match rugby coming in. I think we've got a week or weekend or two of breather. I know we have the New Zealand Māori playing Manu Samoa in Wellington this weekend. So that'll still give some rugby to our people who live on it. So that'll give them something to look forward to. But look, I think you won't go too far outside of your current 15 All Blacks. There's usually one or two that may surprise us. I hope so. It gives someone an opportunity. Deserved it. But it'll give us all something to talk about, Biggie. It'll be some debate, some who should be there, not be there, maybe those unlucky ones. But I think we're just trying to come off a bit of a high on the weekend. And, congratulations to the Blues and to the supporters, Law supporters, and to the Highlanders who came to the party. I mean, it takes two, and they can hold their heads up pretty high.
Oh, yeah, and I have to say those Highlanders supporters, they're good supporters. They enjoy themselves.
They're great, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're great.
But just speaking of the All Blacks, do you think they'll pick a guy like an Ethan Blackadder or a, say, Quinn Tupoia or an Alex Nanskeville? Maybe Alex Nanskeville and Tupoia to maybe fill that midfield gap with the injury to Leonard Brown?
Well, he has put a bit of a spanner in the works because he was a bolter. There's no way, when he was bolting him, and he's that glue in that back line with good use. So, yes, I think there's going to be, I think the Nangaball has been very steady, and I think that's what they like in that position. It wouldn't surprise me if he gets a nod, put it that way. I think in regards to in the forwards there, yes, I'm just trying to think of someone who could put their hand up out of the blue. I think the boy Blackadder is certainly in the mix. As I said, we've got a huge wealth of blue forwards, haven't we? So that's going to be interesting. But look, as he earns an opportunity, yes, I wouldn't be surprised if he, his name is called out into that initial squad of how many players or whatever. But as I say, we're very lucky to have the depth of players in New Zealand in that position.
We certainly do, and of course, the talk is that Ethan Blackadder will be named in that 36 at 7 o'clock tonight. So, obviously, we've got Tonga blood also on the international rugby scene. We have the British and Irish Lions are playing a match against Japan at Murrayfield, so that should be interesting to watch. So, yeah,
I think so. I think we're all keen to see, especially Japan. Not the lay down Mazir teams of the past, not with Jamie Joseph and Mr. Brown there. So hopefully they could give some opposition. It'll be a bit of a, one for the British Lions. They might have a couple of issues here and there, trying to bring a team of four unions together. Not easy. But let's just see how that all pans out. But, British Lions touring, I mean, it's just brilliant, isn't it? We'll all be watching, excited to see how they match up. And they're just such a tremendous team to tour internationally. We love them. I mean, look back to the last time they were here in 2017. Wow, absolutely brilliant. So, yeah, that's going to be some exciting football for sure.
It certainly is. Well, I better let you go there, AJ. Sounds like you're struggling a bit there, mate.
Yeah, well, it is. You know, I'm getting older and talking to you and you know, it's hard for me to remember things at times, but I tell you what, it's been a great finish to the competition. Congratulations again to the Blues, all the supporters, sponsors, people who've turned up week in, week out. And to them, I guess, it's as much a victory as
it is.
So, yeah, enjoy it.
Absolutely. Well said, AJ. Well, we'll catch up next Monday and we'll just preview the upcoming mid-season internationals. Not only the All Blacks when they're playing Tonga and Fiji, Australia versus France, and the British and Irish Lions versus the Springboks. I'll leave you to it, AJ. Have a good rest of the day,
mate. Okay, boy.
Cheers. AJ Wheaton. Well, I tell you what, he was. Sounds like he had a bit of a good old night on Saturday. Next up, we'll talk a bit of NRL with Bluey McLennan, and we'll just play a bit of music. Welcome everyone back to the West Brisbane Sports Review here on Planet FM, and of course we come to the NRL part of the show, and of course if you haven't heard, Reece Walsh has been picked for the Queensland Maroons in State of Origin 2, and 18 years of age, 7 NRL games, but wow, what a talent. And as we always do on a Monday, we always speak to ex-Kiwis coach, ex-Leeds Rhinos and Warriors coach Bluey McLennan. G'day, Bluey. How are you today, mate?
Yeah, really good, Piggy. How you doing, champ?
Oh, listen, good. Well, we might as well lead off. Reece Walsh, we spoke last week whether he would get picked for Queensland. They've gone for the jugular. They've picked him. What's your thoughts on this, Bluey?
Oh, it's crazy, isn't it? You know, 7 NRL games and you make a Queensland side. It shows you the... It just shows you the talent that is Reece Walsh, and I think what they've gone for is they know they need to get points. It's hard to see New South Wales not scoring, you know, 20 points or less. You know that they're going to get at least 20 plus, and I think Queensland has realised that and know they need to get points, and that's where Reece comes in. The danger for Reece Walsh is going to be goal line defence. In the last match, you see Damien Cook put Jacob Sapedi on AJ Brimson when he came on in the middle there, and that's going to be the danger. So I'm sure Queensland will have a plan in and around how they'll use Reece Walsh on goal line defence.
Yeah, no, I think, well, you'd hope they would, because I can tell you something, the man attacking is such a talent. He is, you know, the guy's a freak. I think the Warriors are very, very lucky to have this guy, and I believe, well, he's going to be thrown into the fire straight away, Bluey, and we'll see how he goes. As Wally Lewis said, if you're good enough, even if you're young enough, but if you're good enough, you need to be there. So that's going to be really interesting. We might as well kick off with the Knights 10, the Warriors 6. Yeah, I watched a bit of this game, Bluey, and I have to say, horrible conditions, but really, I felt we didn't, close to the line, we didn't really effectively use our big men like Afanua Blakes and our Tohu Harris is close to the line. What was some of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I think it was hard for us all to appreciate the conditions they were playing in, and this is both teams, hence the scoreline was so low. I think one of the commentators mentioned something around 70-knot winds at point, gusting up to 80. That's really, really difficult. And I think really, in the end of the day, the Warriors had all their time again. I think they probably lost that match in the first quarter. They had some chances there to really nail Newcastle, but you know I thought they let it slip a bit there, and obviously just experience at the end there. But second half, they're playing into the wind, a massive wind. It was really difficult. So you know, I guess for the Warriors, it's just about getting out of the blocks well, and you know, making sure they set up a nice foundation for their game early.
I'd agree with you on that, Bluey. I just felt that there was opportunity. I just felt here the combination of O'Sullivan and Nikarima just didn't seem to click at all.
They kicked pretty well. The kicking game was way better.
I felt the attack lacked a bit of polish.
Yeah, sometimes you know you get halves and you can end up playing off your halves too much. That day, might have been better to go off Jazz a little bit more and get Aiden Fanua Blake running and supporting him. But, you know, two big changes for the Warriors. I mean, you know, to lose their starting hooker and their starting half, you know, most teams in the NRL, if you lose your number one hooker and your number one half, you are going to, you know, have some cohesion problems. So, you know, that's where the Warriors were at. So, you know, they're still fighting. It becomes a really, really big game, the St. George one, coming up this week. So, you know, I'm sure the Warriors will dust themselves off and go again.
Certainly will. Well, we'll get to the other games. Rabbitohs 46, the Broncos. No, the Rabbitohs are looking really good at the moment for Latrell back. Obviously, they've got State of Origin, so they're going to lose a few players. But, you know, Reynolds, Walker, they just look like they're beginning to click, Bluey.
Yeah, they do. They really piled on some points. But I thought they defended the Broncos' yardage really well. I thought they got really good line speed. I thought the Rabbitohs finally had a little bit of a defensive mindset. I know they scored 46 points, but I thought that was off the back of their defence, really. You know, they've got so much strike, the Rabbitohs, that when they get their defence right, you know, they're going to score points regardless. But I thought they attacked with their defence, you know, the best I've seen them do that this year. But it was against the Broncos.
Yep, and we've got to put that into reality. The Sharks 26, Cowboys 24. Cowboys almost came back to beat the Sharks, but Sean Johnson's playing really good at the moment. Bluey?
Yes, he is, and there's so much experience there, and he's got some strike. He actually put on a nice run near, you know, at one point there, and I thought, that was nice. So good win for them up at the Cowboys, you know, and a really important win, which is sort of keeping them as a top eight team.
And, of course, then the next game, the Panthers 38, the Roosters 10, the Nathan Cleary show keeps on rolling on. Probably you can start putting your money on, forget about taking bets for the Dally M. I think he's already got it secured, Bluey.
Well, you know, you nailed it on the head there. That was sublime. You know, he's still a young half, and you know, his performance, you know, against a team that's won two premierships out of the last three, that was outstanding. His control of the game was incredible. And Paul Green must have been watching that going, oh, my God, you know, I've got to handle him kicking the ball around in the State of Origin. And then you got Latrell and, and Tom Trbojevic in the centres. I mean, you know, what do you do? So, yeah, good to see the Panthers back. You know, they suffered from the state of origin, but, gee, when they get their origin players back, aren't they playing good footy?
They certainly are. The Dragons, they won a close one over the Raiders, 22-20. The Dragons are definitely in the top eight. But I have to say, the Storm, 66, the Tigers, 16. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, the Storm and the Panthers are the top sides, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they flex their muscles, it's like they're actually in a different gear than the others. I think, you know, the Rabbitohs and Power and so forth, they've still got a bit of work to do. Manly's a dark horse, but, yeah, Storm and the Panthers just seem a cut above the rest at this present moment.
They certainly do. Well, the Eels had a big win over the Bulldogs, 36 points to 10. So they're looking pretty good. Have to say, Mitch Moses is playing some good football. But this would have to be one of them. This next game was the most strangest game. I was watching it at home. Miserable day. Titans 24. The Sea Eagles 8. I thought, oh my God, we could have a boil over here. And then 48. Unanswered points. Ruben Garlick, 4 tries, but Tommy Turbo really led it, Bluey.
Yeah, he did, and, you know, him along with Cleary and, you know, Latrell Mitchell, those three there are really standouts. In the first half, all the Titans' tries were from kicks, and they found the spaces really good, so obviously Manly will be looking at their kick defence, but when Manly turn it on, that like they're a side with enough strike to cause a boil over, at the back end of the season. There's something about Manly that I like. That they've got a serious football side when they get it together.
They certainly have, and we have a look at they've got experienced halves and Daly Cherry Evans and Kieran Foran, and I think when you've got a good. You've got Marty Tapel there who gives you a good front forward ball. I reckon you're right, Bluey. I think that they could be a dark horse. If anyone's going to upset the Penriths and the Melbournes, it could be the Sea Eagles.
Yeah, 100%. You know, Dez Hasler involved. You know, and you've got Moses Sully too. I thought having Dylan Walker starting to come back.
That's good for them.
I like that role where he's in the middle. And, their young ones are developing. I wish Ruben Garrick would kick the ball a bit faster, though, in his goal kicking. Man, he takes an age.
Did he learn off Brent Webb in 2003? I was wondering. Yeah, I have to say that was the most extraordinary game of NRL I've ever seen. And even you think a 24-8 lead, you think, oh, well, that's pretty much what's... that'll sow that towards them. But, Tommy Turbo, you're right. He's just fantastic. I enjoy watching him play. I think he's just one of the most... in both, whether it's rugby union or rugby league, I think he's one of the most exciting players in either cup.
Yes, he certainly is. And one thing to look out for, State of Origin, like, he's playing right centre and he roams about, and which is an absolute threat, you know, and even for chasing the kicks, he come up with a couple... of the bombs where he got through and chased a kick. He's done that and caught it, out-jumped the opposing fullback. So he would be trying to out-jump Reece Walsh, obviously, and he's got a lot more height on him. If the Queenslanders can get it right, any turnovers, they need to be shifting to their left really quickly and see if they can pick up any momentum or even just doing their yards down that side. But... yeah, it's going to be interesting for the State of Origin, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm still picking New South Wales. I think you have to pick them on form, buddy.
Yeah.
But it's in Brisbane, and you know what it's like going down Caxton Street with a New South Wales Blues jumper. That's something you wouldn't do. It'd be like walking in the middle of the old Lancaster Park with an Auckland rugby jersey. So.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I was listening to Blocker Roach, and he was saying that way back in the day in Lang Park, when you got there, to get through to the New South Wales changing room, they used to have to walk through the bar. Can you imagine doing that in the 80s?
Oh, God, no. It would be something you'd rather not do. Anyway, Bluey, we'll catch up next week. I'm looking forward to State of Origin. I'm looking forward to the Warriors versus the St. George. So we'll catch up next week, Bluey.
Good as gold. Take care, mate. Have a nice week.
Yeah, same to you too, Bluey. Thanks a lot, mate. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Bluey McLennan, and I have to say, I'm still feeling a bit, not feeling the best, but I'll soldier through. Okay, we're going to play a bit of music, and then we're going to get Alan McElroy on here, who will give us his slant on Euro 2020.
My father told me, lying on his bed of death, boy, says, woman, she's gonna make it. Don't fool yourself, 'cause she's got something to make a man lay that money right in her hand. The very thing that makes her rich will make you poor. Mm-hmm. The very thing that makes her rich will make you poor. That's right. Well, I'll put you behind the wheel of a 2¼. Yes, I did. Had you living like a rich man's daughter. Yes, I did. I told it whilst you were living on the hold. You had me down here scuffing like a dog. Well, the very thing that made you rich made me poor. You ready? Made me poor.
Bit of Rye Cougar there. Anyway, let's get on to football, and it's Euro 2020. And joining us, our football correspondent, comedian, actor, broadcaster, all-round good guy, and Wales, the Welsh national football team's number one supporter, Alan McElroy. G'day, Alan. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Oh, listen, mate. I must admit, I am in a fantastic mood. I was struggling a bit in the morning, but I am, you know.
That's a hangover for you. That's normal. Don't worry about that.
Well, no, it's not a hangover. It's just that I'm talking to you, Al. You lift up my spirits. And you lift up all my lifted spirits.
No, you know what? Speaking of hangovers, right? Trying to get up and watch these games. I got up early to watch the England-Scotland game. So we had a big night the night before. So you wake up with a hangover. You drink while watching the game with Scottish fans. You go home, have a kip. And I had a gig that night. And I woke up with another hangover. It's the first time in my life I've ever had two hangovers in one day. That was a game changer.
Oh, wow. It would have been a game changer. Well, I'll tell you what. If you watched that England-Scotland match, if you were at home and it was in your backyard, you close the curtains, it was terrible.
It was. It was pretty boring. But we went at home. We were in a pub drinking, having fun, singing songs, jumping around, screaming at the TV.
Yeah, I know. I must admit that Billy Gilmore, who the Scottish midfielder, God, he had a good game. I was really impressed with him.
Yeah, no, I really like Scotland as a whole. What was funny as well, because I don't know if you're aware of this, but a lot of us grow up, we can't listen to the English national anthem. So whenever it comes on TV, we pause it. Just, we've done that for years. I didn't think everyone else does it, but at the bar we were watching it in, it was paused and some Wolf Tone Rebel songs are played in his place. that added to the atmosphere
I did see that on Facebook, but oh no, that was, I tell you what, if England think they're going to win that tournament, I'd say think again. I mean, they've got the Czech Republic this week, and I think the I'd actually put money on the Czech Republic to beat them.
Yeah, they England aren't looking good, and even Graeme Souness said in one of his punditry roles was football ain't coming home. So that's the expert, but he obviously is a Scottish fan. But yeah, they didn't look that good, and they were quite lucky to not lose against the Scottish. But in Wales as well, I watched that. They lost to a reserve Italy team.
Yeah, but, you know, Wales are there. They've qualified to the 16, you know.
They've qualified, but my best player missed a sitter. Did you see that one? The ball just came down onto his left foot. No person near him. I think his top knot got in his way. His hair is pulled back too tight. He needs to go back to basics, get a haircut.
Short back and sides, that's what I say, Al.
Short back and sides, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was just going to say to you, now, we've had a few Welsh people that weren't particularly happy with you and weren't particularly happy with me because they claimed that I was egging you on a bit, which...
What did I say?
I think you said that their song was very, very...
It was boring.
Boring. But did he see them in Turkey? It sounds like they had a bit of Tom Jones there singing Delilah.
Yeah, if they're singing Delilah and a bit of Manic Street Preachers or Stereophonics or Kerry's, whatever her name is, yeah, that's all right. But I'm talking about the bar I was in and the Welsh fans. It was just monotonous and it was, whoa. I'll stand by that. I'll argue that with anyone.
I know you will. Well, we might catch up after the show. I might introduce you to one of the few of the Welshmen. But no,
yeah,
but,
no worries.
Yeah, no, but I was just going to say Belgium looked really good. The Dutch looked good, but I was going to, and of course, then you've got Group E, which is the most boring group of the lot. Sweden are leading it.
Yeah.
Ahead of Slovenia, Spain, and Poland. But, oh, God, it's the band that used to do this, your spot, Brendan McNeice, would say, will put a glass eye to sleep.
So yeah.
It was that bad. But the group of death, that is looking interesting.
Of course.
Yeah.
And even Hungary were looking good.
Yeah, well, did he see their manager, you know? He looks like a guy out of Breaking Bad, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's terrifying. He's enough. Like, he looks a bit like Kalina, the referee years ago. He doesn't look like a real human being. He looks like someone drew him, animated him, and he'd haunt your dreams. So, of course, they're probably playing for their life because they literally are probably playing for their life because of him.
Oh, yeah, well, I think he's Italian. He definitely looks like one man you wouldn't want to walk into in a dark alley. But I have to say, that group of deaths looking very interesting because France got Portugal, Germany have got Hungary. Now, the Germans actually looked really good against Portugal. France didn't, you know, that result against Hungary really didn't look that great against Hungary. They didn't look that good against them. And in fact, Hungary were probably lucky not to sneak a win there, but... But that France-Portugal game, now, there's a potential, Alan. If one or the other beat each other, one of these teams could be going home early.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good group. Portugal were showing up. Germany, you know, and I watched the interview before the game where they said that they're not about individuals. They've always been about a team playing as a unit. Efficient is the word that comes up a lot for Germany.
Oh, yeah.
Germany. But, they showed how class they were as a unit. And Portugal, which, you know, Ronaldo, you can big him up all you want. And we did last week, but he threw a few tantrums during the week when the Diego Jota didn't pass the ball. He threw a wobbler. And you could see him in the tunnels coming back out. He was aware the camera was on him, and he kept on looking at Jota, shaking his head, tutting. So that's the sign for me, of them starting to fall apart. You know, you look at the Germans who were all together as a team, and Ronaldo starting to throw a wobbler. You can't look past Germany topping that group now.
No, you can't. I can see them topping that group, and I can see that France Portugal game either being a French win or a draw, because I actually think that if Portugal being Portugal, the luck they have, they'll sneak through the back door as they always do.
I think Portugal might get something against France.
You reckon?
Yeah, I reckon. Again, there's two teams full of individual superstars. So it just depends on who comes on top. But I can, yeah, I can. I, as much as I hate Ronaldo, you know, he always has something to prove. And especially if they lost the last game, I can see him pulling something magical out of the bag and getting something against France.
Yep, I wouldn't put it past him. You're saying two individual superstars. I thought you were talking about us two for a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I've got man flu today, so I'm a shadow of my former self. And it's man flu. It's not COVID. I haven't got the jab yet.
No, because you're too young and healthy.
Yeah, well, I was last week. Now I'm not.
Oh, no, this is what happens when you join the show. You know, something's always going to go wrong for you.
I catch you down the phone line. Yeah, no, that's fair enough. That's all good.
Yeah, no. Anyway, I'm going to run through some of the games. So if we go to the second places, obviously we've got Italy, Wales. I believe Germany will get through. I think France will get through. I think England will probably scrape in.
And Belgium are through.
Czech Republic. I can't see Scotland getting through.
It's a tough one. You know, I want them to. What's that? Wednesday morning that game is on.
Yeah.
So obviously I'll be cheering them on just because of the carnage that you see the fans cause.
Oh, they're like, good fun, aren't they?
Yeah, so for that reason alone, you want them in. There's guys sliding across the pavement, topless, nearly ripping their nipples off, throwing a load of bubbles in Leicester Square, water fountains, just having a massive session. And that's, you know, Scotland look good on the pitch, but they look right off the pitch, and that's what I'd like to watch for the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, the Spirit of Football Award goes to the Scottish fans.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I just cannot, and of course that group, he got it. I can't see anyone being featuring much in that tournament after the last 16, whether it's Spain, Slovenia, or Sweden. Can't see either of them.
Yeah, it'd be a shock to see Spain go out so early as well. They're you know, not looking too good.
They look terrible, Alan. They look absolutely terrible. Well, what's up for you for the rest of the week, Al? Apart from getting over your man flu.
Yeah, no, I'll shake that off today. I'm in Nelson doing gigs, Nelson, Picton, and a few other places now, after some quizzes around Auckland. But yeah, I'll be trying to watch the football while I'm on the road.
Yeah, because they've got Sky TV in the motel, have they?
I sure hope so. Yeah, I know where we go. Because I was trying to watch highlights, and like I said last week, people upload videos of them playing computer games instead of actual highlights. And the computer games are so realistic nowadays that I'm halfway through a game and I realise it's a computer. I may need to get glasses as well. So I was given a good website to catch up on everything. So I'll be, I'm not missing a minute of football next week.
Anyway, well, you enjoy yourself down the South Island. Now, are you doing your gig at Seamus's in Picton?
Yeah, Seamus's in Picton. Yeah, on the Thursday, and then Motueka, I think it's called, and then. Nelson, the Playhouse Cafe and Theatre. Me and the Scottish comedian is heading down.
Gary.
So we're going to go down and have a laugh.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, if you're in Seamus's, I know the people that used to own it. They used to be my former next-door neighbours in Christchurch, Liz and Alistair. So they may come up to you. If you do meet them, just pass on my regards.
I will indeed. No worries.
And you'll speak highly of me, won't you?
Of course, I wouldn't say anything negative at all.
Okay, we'll get off the
line. Except that you're a Welsh fan.
Okay, yep, okay, on that note, we'll catch you later, mate. Have a great rest of the week.
Man.
Cheers, babe. Wrong button again. Yeah, that was Al McRoy. He's got an interesting view on football. But I will we'll get onto the panel right next, okay?
Come on.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM. And, of course, this is the good part of the show, the interesting part, the mature part, the part of intellect, discovery. Please welcome to the air the man, the legend, and the hopeless romantic, Mark Watson.
You mentioned interesting and intellect. I'm not sure I fall under either of those categories.
Well, never do I, Mark. Yeah, afternoon to you. And afternoon to the silver tongue, Silver Fox, probably the intellect part of the show. Sean Summerfield, how are you?
Don't get your hopes up there, mate.
Yeah, well, you know, look who the host is. That doesn't look like a Rhodes Scholar to anyone. Anyway, gentlemen, we might as well kick it off. The cricket, New Zealand versus India, looks like it's heading towards that dreaded draw. I watched a bit last night. Cole Jamieson was outstanding. Devon Conway is proving what a superb find he is for the Black Caps. Just some of your thoughts, gentlemen.
Well, there is an extra day, isn't there? They allow for a 6 day, so we've technically still got 3 days left. But we need to actually start now playing with a little bit more freedom. I can understand how we've decided to bat, you know, just want to set some sort of platform on which to launch, try and get some sort of first innings lead. But, you know, I think we do need to play positively. I think that's been why we have been successful and why we've got there. So, you know, sometimes it is easy to forget that and sort of play in two minds. Nice and evenly poised at the moment. I think the first session of tonight will be crucial for both teams. It sounds like a bit of an old cliche, but isn't it great where maybe, you know, you've got depth when perhaps Southie's not quite there for some reason, whether it be nerves or just doesn't quite have his rhythm, and then you've got Jamieson stepping up, which is the first time in a long time that we've got such depth as I think we talked about last week.
Yeah, certainly. Sean, some of your thoughts.
Oh, just I'm glad they're playing, mate. I was just looking at the forecast thinking it wasn't going to happen. But with Mark all together, we've got to play with a bit of spirit because, I think I'd rather them push their luck for a result than have it peter away to a draw. I suppose that's the downside of, you know, trying to do this one-off championship match in a game that more often than not ends up in a draw. But, I'm still loving the fact that we're there. I'm more than loving the fact that we're actually getting some play. I'm absolutely smitten with Devon Conway.
Oh, yeah, he's brilliant, isn't he? Hopefully the weather doesn't turn bad for the next 3 days, because I really believe we've actually got a great opportunity here. We're playing positive cricket and our bowling was just fantastic last night. Gentlemen, hello?
All right, well, how can we disagree with you?
I'm confirming everything you've just said.
The first time we're not disagreeing.
If you're playing that game snap, I would have said snap.
Okay. Maybe the weekend is catching up with me, gentlemen.
Can we touch a little bit on the golf this morning?
You certainly can, yeah.
Yeah, fascinating battle. John Rahm, the first Spanish player to win the US Open in, 122 years, I think it is. Interesting, Seve Ballesteros had never won it. But what I love about the back nine on the final day of the golf major is this is where you see the frailties of humanity. This is where you see the yips. This is where you see why is there an industry around sports psychologists. And unlike team sports and individual sports, when the pressure goes on, if you fall apart, it is there for everybody to see. And so many of them fell apart today. DeChambeau, who was there at the turn, going into the back nine, 5 under, leading the tournament, ends up 3 over. Rory McIlroy in the mix, he falls apart. And then you had Louis Oosthuizen, who actually won it back in 2010. And then, for some reason, on the drive on the 17th, pulls it to the left when he's been playing beautiful golf. And he just opens the door. And I tell you what, it is just such a wonderful spectacle, because in the space of about 2 hours, you see a metaphor for life unfolding in front of your eyes. Good times, bad times, ups and downs, and then that thing, how am I ever going to recover from this? And I reckon that DeChambeau will be having psychological damage off the back of falling apart as badly as he fell apart.
Sean, your thoughts?
I've got no thoughts whatsoever on golf.
I have to agree with Mark. Are you guys making me work for my money today?
Mate, we've got to.
Yeah, okay, I suppose.
To be honest, there's nothing
intelligent or nothing interesting about me.
I was told if I've got nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. But no, the truth is, Eamon, I had to keep up with so much motorsport on the weekend that
I reached
my sporting capacity.
Yeah, well, I was
nice
just...
Nice segue.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we might as well head on about the motorsport. What a weekend. The Giz, Liam Lawson.
Well, yes, exactly. We could grizzle about some of the refereeing on Saturday night, or we could talk about New Zealand success. And I've got to say, Liam Lawson, now some people have asked me today, hang on, I thought he was racing Formula 2. He is. But Red Bull wanted to get him working extra hard. So with Alex Albon, who was one of their F1 drivers, he's racing in the DTM, which is the German touring cars, which is the coolest touring car championship on the planet. Now they've got McLaren and Ferrari Lamborghini in it. It is just insane to watch. And he raced beautifully. He raced. It was a proper race to take the lead and to win that first race. He tangled, though, in the second race on Sunday early on and spun, so finished well down the order. But what a debut. Ferrari's first win in the series. His win on debut, and just showing again what class this young fella is. And then what a weekend for Red Bull, because Shane Van Gisbergen, tough time on Saturday in Darwin in the Red Bull Commodore. He had a 30-second pit stop, a wheel nut wouldn't release, and that blew his race there. But he followed up on Sunday, two wins. And that's 48 race wins in Australian touring cars, which ties with the record set by Peter Brock. But I looked at the stats, and it's taken Shane 432 races to get that mark. Brock took 292, but Craig Lowndes took 105 races to get those 48 wins.
Wow.
Only six drivers have done it, by the way, including six other drivers, including Scott McLaughlin, a Wing Cup Tander, and Scape. So there's the stats there. But, yeah, Shane Van Gisbergen, and what a season he's having. And speaking of Red Bull, obviously a win for Max Verstappen in Formula 1 in France. And just looking at that, Red Bull have now won three races in a row. So it's turning away, and you could maybe say, are they opportunistic or what's happening? But Max raced beautifully. He had two-stop strategy versus the one-stop for Lewis Hamilton, reverse of what happened in Spain. It paid off at Perez, finishing in third. And Max has sort of blinked on that one on the second corner. He actually went off the track and lost the lead, but he managed to get it back. And I should also mention, too, because love any hint of Kiwiness, McLaren fifth and sixth, a good result there. But yeah, Formula One, we've now got a race happening, and that is absolutely awesome. And finally, before I take a breath, Scott Dixon finishing fourth, Road America. He won there last year. He's now third in the standings. His teammate Alex Palou winning the race. He leads the championship with your man from Spain, Pato O'Ward, in second place. But Scott's still in the hunt for yet another championship. There we go, guys. How's that?
Whoa, spectacular, Mr. Summerfield. And Mr. Watson, you wanted to speak about the Olympics.
I think we've got an All Black team being named tonight, haven't we?
We certainly do. Okay, and have you got...
Has there been much hype around that? I don't listen to mainstream radio these days. I tend to just listen to the BBC World Service, and so they don't tend to sort of tell me so much about it. But look, it's always a fascinating time, isn't it, in New Zealand sport, to sort of see what that All Black team's going to look like, who might be the bolters. I thought Papa Levy for the Blues has just been sensational all season, and, if he doesn't start in the 7 jersey, I'm not sure what's wrong. And, it's good that, guys that, Sam Kane falls over injured, and guys like Papa Levy standing up. I'll always take an interest, because I'm going to throw it in here because it's who I am, it's what I do, but good representation, hopefully, from Mount Albert Grammar School in there with Lau Lala, Alex Hodgman. Clearly, we're not going to have Jack Goodhue available, and equally, too, we're not going to have young Clark either on the wing, because he's decided to go down the sevens path. But interesting that some of the newspapers are saying that David Havili, who was, played a couple of tests at fullback there some years back, who, was the starting fullback for the Crusaders for a long time, but has been playing more at centre, he will come back in, because that midfield, Anton Leonard-Brown is out. As I said, Goodhue's out. It's always an interesting time. I just wish that we selected a new coach, but that's not going to happen at the moment.
I've got to say, though, that, we have got, for the first time in a while, I'm actually really stoked. We've got, obviously, Aaron Smith, I think, is just playing just sublime rugby. I think he didn't shine totally on Saturday night. And but I think that sort of inside halves pairing is just absolutely awesome. Richie Moanga has developed into a class act. I thought he was a bit shaky when he started to make his way into the All Blacks, but I think he's awesome there. But I'm with you on Papali'i. He's a proper big old rig, isn't he?
Yeah, there's talk too that Finlay Christie will get in, who's been a bit of a, not a journeyman, I think he's a very good halfback. He'll join Brad Webber in that as the three halfbacks, because I think TJ Perenara is still unavailable. So it's a really nice story for Finlay Christie. I always like to see players who do come from overseas playing their trade here and, you know, coming through the New Zealand system and going to a level that they probably wouldn't have gone to if they were, say, perhaps playing rugby in their own country. So
I think that's really Tasman, is that right?
Yeah, he's with Tasman, yeah.
Him and Mitch Drummond, that was a gravy bit of niggle on Saturday night. But, yeah, no, just that's awesome. That, as long as we can keep players coming through and shining and, you know, that form still plays a part and players can break through.
Certainly can.
Well, it's interesting though, isn't it? You get a player like Aaron Smith, he changes the game in terms of the speed of his pass, and then suddenly everybody lifts to that level. And it's amazing how much quicker we've seen the clearance from the breakdown from all of our halfbacks now, and how much more emphasis has gone on the speed of the pass. You know, and a player does come along that changes the game. You know, Sonny Bill sort of brought the offload in, and you see more players looking for the little flick and a little bit more sort of NBA-type basketball style, where it's a little bit more intuitive. And, you know, Michael Jones changed the game. And so, yeah, look, it's and that's what happens, isn't it? You get somebody that comes along, they take sport to that next level, and everybody lifts. And you could say Lewis Hamilton, possibly. Did he take it up from Schumacher? I'm not sure. But now we're seeing Verstappen step up, and, you know, and McLaughlin comes along, and, you know, and everybody lifts. And that's what we've got to keep doing in this country.
Absolutely. I'll give you a couple of names that could be named. Ethan Blackadder and Alex Nankscovell. Be aware.
I'm not sure they're that good, are they?
I think Blackadder's good. I think Nankscovell would probably cover that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a good footballer. He can cover all.
He can cover number eight. I've been long enough not to scoff, Mark, because he gets inside knowledge on these things. And he knew about Tana Umanga coming to coach the Blues years ago, 6 months before anyone else did. So yeah. I'm just going to say, okay, but look, from a romantic point of view, Ethan Blackadder's great, but I don't know. He's a pretty tight fit up there. We've got some big talent in those places. That's the only thing.
Well, I think
Todd Blackadder was great for the game back in the day for Canterbury, but I always found he was a little bit of a, oh, to be honest, I think he was a little bit of a journeyman type player. I mean, he certainly wasn't X Factor, but I'd like to think that hopefully if his boy does get in, that there is just a little bit more to him than perhaps what
he's
provided. And
Todd's X Factor wasn't always on the field or about particular skills or speed. It was about who he was and what he brought out of people. And, you know, you could argue the value of that, but I personally think he did a lot in the way he brought people together. And, I think he had a bit of the everyman about him, and he was easy to follow and easy to love because of that. But, yeah, it wasn't pure straight-out skill.
It's just on the legend of Amon. It's funny, I had a meeting the other week, and I was the meeting involved Sir Brian Williams, the great man, the headmaster of Manabba Grammar School, Pat Drum, and a gentleman by the name of Colin Nichols. And I was saying to them, look, I do this little radio segment every week with Amon. His nickname is Piggy.
Yeah.
Every single one of them knew this man. Eden Rugby Club, the legend, the icon, Piggy. Piggy this and Piggy that. They all knew you, Amon.
Well, this is because I'm a sparkling personality, Mark. You know, that's, since learning from you, I've learned to have that sparkling, clear personality. So, yes, they all knew me, and they all love me as well, too, mate. I'm a bit of a celebrity down there, so, you know.
No, but it's credit to you, because but in all seriousness, you are the type of people that make rugby rugby in this country,
yep.
And you are the ones that should be rewarded in the Queen's Honours, more so than these high-paid, celebrity positions. You guys are the heart and soul of the game, you know, and you've got your centenary, I think, next year, haven't
yes,
you, Eden Rugby Club
do.
And everything, so, you know, well done to you, Amon. There you go, you probably don't hear that enough.
Well, no, I don't hear it at all, actually, especially I don't hear it from Sean either, but,
oh.
But I have to say, no, and a lot of those, you know, well, I'm part of a rugby club because, you know, I'm passionate about local sports. I'm passionate about the local community, and I'll always love to see my team go well. I've been involved in club rugby for a while, and, you know, the problem is we hear about all these players, you know, like having to saying the pressure's hard on them being All Black Super Rugby player. First of all, go down, don't get paid. Do a 9-to-5 job, do your training 2-to-3 nights a week, play rugby on a Saturday, be poor on a Sunday, see how they live. And this is the big thing.
But, Eamon, the thing is, we were actually blessed. We've got to see professional rugby, I believe, at its best. But we were there in the 80s. Guys, Robbie Deans used to deliver the fresh up to our school, to the tuck shop.
He did, yeah.
Dale Atkins was a relief teacher at our school. We used to go along and watch Marist play Belfast, and Wayne Smith was at first five. You know, you'd watch University with Victor Simpson, all these guys, and we got to see this, and it actually meant something. Club rugby meant something because we saw Canterbury players and All Blacks coming through, and I'm sure it was the same here in Auckland. People, we used to watch Beaky play for Ponsonby. That's the difference.
Yeah, but what I like about that, we've got the Olympic Games coming up. I think it officially kicks off 3 weeks on Friday. Or am I going 3 weeks? So it might be 4 weeks on Friday. I think it officially kicks off. Yeah, 4 weeks on Friday. But look, that's when you see sportsmen that do it for the pure love of it. I'm absolutely convinced that a lot of rugby players are almost talked into being told how tough their life is from these players' associations and from these other people around them. Oh, this is really, really hard what you guys do. And you're like, well, really? Harder than a rower? Harder than a paddler? Harder than, some of these other sports, the tennis players? Yeah, not sure it is, guys, but you keep telling yourself how tough your life is. And, you know, and when it comes to the negotiations, you hold a gun to New Zealand Rugby's head and threaten to leave and bankrupt club rugby in this country because, you know, you need to be paid this because life is really, really tough.
You may miss Christmas as well.
You're never, ever going to convince me that life is tough for a professional rugby player in this country. You're never going to convince me because I know, in comparison to where I've been, from what I've seen, it's not.
Hear, hear, Mark. Absolutely agreeing with you. And, of course, you know, when I was going to speak about the America's Cup possibly leaving our shores, but I'd rather not because I could... We've only got about a minute and a half to go, and I think we could definitely have a lot of debate.
That's like, it's so tough for us finding enough money. My goodness. That's as much as saying for a professional sports person. If you're living the dream, just count your blessings and give it everything because I tell you what, professional careers in that sport are shorter than people realise. And if you can run fast enough, tackle hard enough, and you're big enough to do it, then good on you. But please don't complain because I tell you what, the people that make our lives tick over on minimum wage, they're the ones who actually deserve the medals. So that's where I'm on that.
What was the
I always used to say it too, isn't it? You know, these players rest in rotation, and I always sort of used to say this a little bit, and it came in cheek to a degree because in all seriousness, you know, I don't wish anybody any real harm when it comes to later in life. But you sort of think, imagine that, this rugby player rests in rotation and you're this precious guy and suddenly you require this heart surgery and you've got the best heart surgeon in the world. You turn up to have your surgery and you go, you know what? He's taken the day off. He just needed to rest and rotate a little bit. He did 4 operations yesterday. So look, we're going to put a second string heart surgeon on. Pretty hard to have a bit of sympathy, isn't it? You know what I mean? Get over yourself. You know, but my point being is guys in these other areas don't take days off. You know, they don't rest and rotate. And the responsibility they have on their shoulders is far greater than running a rugby ball, you know?
Absolutely. On